Hello, my friends. I'm Bill McLaughlin. Welcome to St. Paul Sunday.
St. Paul Sunday is produced by Minnesota Public Radio and made possible by a major grant from the Minnesota-based General Mills Foundation, supporting excellence in education, human services, and the arts. Additional funding has been provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and by this Public Radio International station. Join us today with our guest, the Golub Kaplan Carr Trio.
The piano trio form originated pretty much with Joseph Haydn, as so many musical forms did in the mid to later 18th century, and came to great fruition during the 19th century. And today's program is going to look at music which comes from the beginning of the 19th century through the end. We'll have music of Beethoven, of Rachmaninoff, and of Dvorak. And to play all of this wonderful music for us, we have one of my favorite piano trios in existence, the Golub Kaplan Carr Trio. It's great to see the three of you gentlemen back in the studio. It's been too long.
Pleasure.
And let me introduce the individuals. Back at the piano is David Golub, well-known pianist. And you split your time between the U.S. and Europe, largely, and for a very good reason.
Yes, I live in Italy.
Yeah.
And my wife is Italian, and I play a lot in Europe, so for me it's roughly the same to live there and come here a lot, or live here and go there a lot.
Coming from the other direction, now from the West Coast, is a rather new resident of Los Angeles. That's Mark Kaplan, our violinist. How is it that you finally pulled up roots? You seem like a dyed-in-the-wool Easterner.
Well, I was an Easterner until 2 weeks ago. Actually, this whole last year I've been teaching at UCLA, and I think it took a year because we were so reluctant to really believe that we could be other than East Coast, but now we've moved and we love it.
Yeah, you said your wife took one look at LA and changed her mind completely.
That's right. It was hard to get her out there to look, but once she was there after one day, she said, well, when can we move?
Yeah. Colin Carr, our cellist, why don't you tell us what you've been up to?
Well, as David says, it's sort of business as usual. A lot of playing, particularly the last month, has been very, very busy. I played the Strauss Don Quixote for the first time with the New Mexico Symphony, and I played the Dvorak Concerto in Boston.
Those are my two very favorite cello
really?
And orchestra. Oh, they're tremendous, both.
Yeah, great pleasure. Great fun to do. And Rococo Variations in Tulsa. And since I saw you, I produced another child.
So holy smokes.
That's the most exciting thing.
You had help with that, I think.
Had a little help, yeah. Another boy, as if there aren't enough men in the world already.
That's great. What do you call him?
Francis.
Well,
she's 7 months old.
Welcome to the world, Francis. You've got a great pop and I'm sure a great mom as well. As you can tell from just this quick sorting through of what these three players have been up to, they live in completely different parts of the world, are incredibly busy. Their orchestral credits as soloists go on and on. Just to list a few, Cleveland Orchestra, Philadelphia Orchestra, Chicago Symphony, Boston Symphony, LSO, Concertgebouw. We would never get to music if I were just to go on reading their credits. What is remarkable about the three of you is that since 1982, you've been able to find time to perform together as a trio and at such a high level. And we're going to hear that right now. We're turning now to music of Beethoven, a trio which bears a late opus number, opus 121, which makes it sound like it's right in the middle of the late works of, say, Musa Solemnis, Ninth Symphony, even the late quartets. In fact, it was written much earlier in the century, and it's alternately very profound and rather lighthearted. It has a nickname, Cockadoo. Who wants to have a crack at explaining why Beethoven would write a Cockadoo trio?
Well, he was basing the trio. The trio are a set of variations, which are based on the theme from an 18th century opera, and the name of the aria from that opera is Ich bin der Schneider Cockadoo. I am the tailor Cockadoo.
Mm-hmm. So watch Beethoven weave some mastery here in going from rather silly music, which we won't hear for about the first couple, 3 minutes, because this adagio that starts the piece is quite profound and quite sustained. But then watch him shift gears between the comic and tragic and noble. It's really quite extraordinary music. So here we have the Beethoven Trio in G Major, Opus 121A. It's in the form of adagio, theme and variations, and rondo. Beethoven, played by Golub Kaplan Carr. And David, I'll come back in turn for you.
Thank you.
marvelous stuff. This is music of Ludwig van Beethoven, the trio in G major, which has a funny title, Ich bin der Schneider Kakadu, because that's the sort of almost music hall tune, set of variations upon which Beethoven builds his piece. What's very interesting in this piece is that the tune itself, from an opera of a man called Wenzel Müller, is not only lighthearted, it's almost silly. But the music that Beethoven grabs in and rearranges ranges from very silly indeed to profound.
Yeah. I think that's the point.
Yeah.
Beethoven to demonstrate that out of what is seemingly banal musical material, he can create sublime music.
That's his special talent.
Indeed. And the special talent of the performers, this was the Golub Kaplan Carr Trio, which gave us this performance of Beethoven, is to make these shifts seem all very natural, almost inevitable. You know, it's great to hear the three of you play again. It's been a few years since we've had a chance to do a show. And, you know, I sit there and I think, that's the sweetest violin sound I've ever heard from Mark. And then all of a sudden, Colin plays this beautiful warm cello phrase, and then David plays something so elegantly at the piano. It's a marvelous collection of individuals, the three of you. And each of you have so much of your own personal style. What's great is the way it blends.
I don't know if you're asking us to agree with you or not.
Oh, I guess it's just an enthusiastic thing about it, the way it sounded. But we're spending a wonderful program with my old friends, David Golub, Mark Kaplan, and Colin Carr, the Golub Kaplan Carr Trio. I'm Bill McLaughlin, and you're tuned to St. Paul Sunday. I just want to take a moment to direct you to the St. Paul Sunday website, which is always filled with information about the artists on the program and the music coming up. Our website is to be found at sunday.mpr.org. That's M as in Minnesota, PR.org. Well, we've had music from the beginning of the century, that music of Beethoven, and now we're going to the end of the 19th century, to 1893, in fact, a work composed by the then 20-year-old Sergei Rachmaninoff. October 25, 1893, is the day of Tchaikovsky's death. It's also the day that Rachmaninoff began to write this piece. Tchaikovsky seems to have been his idol, and they just, in fact, the dedication page of this piece, the old edition that we found in the Minneapolis Library, says, to the memory of a great artist. I guess you have the same thing in your parts. It's nice to think of this 20-year-old boy, really. I mean, but what a boy, what an amazing performer and composer already at the age of 20, recalling Tchaikovsky, who was only in his 50s then, and just barely that. We're going to have just one movement of this trio. Tell us a little bit about this movement and why you chose this particular movement.
Well, it's interesting that Tchaikovsky's trio was also in memory of a great artist, and that's clearly the inspiration.
I'm not sure who that was.
Nicholas Rubinstein. And Rachmaninoff's trio is clearly modeled in construction on Tchaikovsky's trio.
For people who have heard the Tchaikovsky trio, the resemblances will be noticeable immediately.
Yeah. One of the things I noticed in looking at the score, I don't know this piece to the truth, but I was just looking at the score before we went on the air, and there's a kind of obsessive quality about the opening measures. The piano plays a figure over and over again.
It's a dirge.
Yeah, and the cello comes in and just sticks on F natural for a long time, barely moves away. It's almost like one note at a time.
Well, I think, you know, Rachmaninoff liked these kinds of minimalist melodies. You can see it in his, let's say, the third piano concerto as well, that he liked to make a melody out of not a lot of notes, and he's very good at it.
Yeah, it's very telling effect. Let's hear this music. This is music from 1893, the piano trio number 2 in D minor, the 20-year-old Sergei Rachmaninoff. Our players here are the Golub Kaplan Carr Trio. That's remarkable music. For anyone, but for a 20-year-old man to write this music is even more remarkable. This is music of Sergei Rachmaninoff. We heard the first movement of his Elegiac Trio, a trio which he wrote at the age of 20, heartbroken really over the death of Tchaikovsky, his idol. And he sat down the moment that he heard the news that Tchaikovsky had died, and less than 2 months later, this great piece was done. Actually, there's more to it, but this first movement is the essence of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's a huge, as Tchaikovsky's trio, and as you can hear, very, very similar in emotionally and also structurally, too.
It's a heartfelt performance by Golub Kaplan Carr Trio. I should say before we go on, just want to give you credit for a spectacular, really deep performance of this piece.
What's interesting, though, is having written it, he thought, nah, chamber music's not for me. And, I mean, it's so good.
I was just looking. He wrote almost all of his chamber music between the age of 13 and not much more than 20. And there are some remarkable pieces in that period, but then he read...
Well, that also might have something to do with the fact that after he left Russia, he wrote relatively little music at all.
Yeah, could be. You know, I was actually watching this while I was turning pages for you, David. There was smoke rising from the piano in that center section. I think we're going to have to take our Steinway in for it.
Send me a bill.
500,000 note checkup after...
Well, I think it certainly is not the kind of piano writing... associated with chamber music in general, and it's pure Rachmaninoff.
Yeah, you know, as much as he's devoted to Tchaikovsky and using the Tchaikovsky trio as a model, there's no question that this is Rachmaninoff's voice. I think, actually, I like Rachmaninoff's music very, very much. I mean, a lot of times the critics have poo-pooed it, and the audience and the performers always love it. And what I find most powerful in his music is his voice, and it's interesting that you hear it and you know who it is, and
absolutely,
you're interested. It's very personal.
Well, it's
music.
Remarkable that at such a young age that voice is already there.
Yeah. Even with Beethoven, as great as he was and as powerful-minded as he was, you can understand what he learned from Haydn, for example, and with many composers. But this is remarkable stuff.
Well, the things also that critics did complain about was never just the actual musical stuff. That was the way it was put together. And sure, you can pick at this or pick at that, but the actual musical stuff is wonderful.
Yeah, terrific playing. I'm afraid we have time for only one more relatively short piece, and this was written about 10 years before the Rachmaninoff by a composer who was a little bit older than Rachmaninoff. This is music of Antonin Dvorak, to which we're turning now. The year 1883, Dvorak was 42, and it was in a period of his work when a lot of the work had a dark or melancholy or even tragic side to it. It's not long before the great Seventh Symphony, D Minor Symphony, and Stabat Mater had come not too long before. So it's not surprising to find now a trio, not only in a minor key, but when you get to the scherzo, which we're about to hear, it's another minor key. That's unusual, I think.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times the scherzo, the Italian word itself, means joke, and the composer will use that as a chance to lighten the mood. Well, he does a little.
Well, of course, this is the shortest movement of the piece, and the piece is a just gigantic scale, and as you say, very, very serious work.
It has a little bit of a diabolic quality too. He still manages to get in. This is actually the movement where he really does manage to get in a lot of folk material,
uh-huh.
A lot of things that sound like Czech folk dances. Because, as you were saying, in this period, the music is remarkably free of that compared to what happens afterwards.
But before and afterwards, I mean, it was not long before this piece that the Slavonic dances caught Brahms'
right.
eye and sort of introduced Dvorak to the world beyond his native country. And it was maybe at this time he just wanted to not be a local composer in a way. Sort of this is music of...
Well, if it's so, then he was successful. I think it's, at least for us, it's maybe, if such a thing can be said, our favorite of the Dvorak trios, even more than the ever-popular Dumky.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that minor key notwithstanding, this movement still does provide light relief in the context of the whole piece.
Well, I'm looking forward to this because I remember very well the Dumky trio that you played on one of your last visits to St. Paul Sunday, and I've always thought that this particular trio, Golub Kaplan Carr, had a great affinity for the music of Dvorak. So we'll hear now from the trio in F minor, opus 65, the Scherzo movement. Golub Kaplan Carr playing music of Dvorak. Thank you. fiery music. This is music of Dvorak, of course. The trio in F minor, opus 65. We heard the second movement, the scherzo, also in a minor key, C sharp minor, an unlikely key for that relationship. And he had some unlikely music, or at least highly original music. This was the Golub Kaplan Carr trio playing for us. You three of you take a special delight in playing Dvorak. I've often thought that, and hearing it again. Did I hear, have you recorded this, or are you thinking of recording some of this music?
We actually just did record the this F minor and also the B flat major Dvorak trio, completing our series of Dvorak, which is going to be coming out in the spring on Arabesque Records.
That's something to look out for. I mean, that's really wonderful music. I can't help but think that if you folks would like to keep track of this, that Public Radio Music Source is a good way to do that. I'm sure you all know the number, but I'll tell you again, it's 1-800-75-MUSIC, and you can ask for anything that you've heard on this show or anything else on public radio or anything else you'd like to inquire about, because the people there are very, very clever.
They're very helpful, too. I mean, I've called them with really obscure things, and sometimes it takes them a week or two, but they don't forget. They get back to you.
And the great thing about it, too, is that the little margin that comes in selling a recording goes to support public radio, both this station that you're listening to now and the whole system. So this has been a remarkable show. We started with a Beethoven trio from the early part of the century. Had this marvelous piece of Rachmaninoff, the trio Elegiac, which came just written upon the death of Tchaikovsky. Marvelous sort of lamenting piece. And now this great piece of Dvorak. Please come again, my friends. It's. I wish we had time for more music. This is all we have today. But thanks so much to David Golub playing the piano, Mark Kaplan, and Colin Carr, our violinist and cellist. Golub, Kaplan, Carr trio. Please do hurry back.
Thank you, Bill.
And folks at home, why don't you drop us a line and let us know how you liked it. You can reach us at St. Paul Sunday, care of Minnesota Public Radio, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55101, or by email, where our address is sunday@mpr.org. That's Sunday at M as in Minnesota, PR.org. All the time we have for music this week. Hope you've enjoyed it. I'm sure you have, in fact. Make sure to stay tuned for all the great stuff coming up, and make certain to tune in next week when we'll be back here with St. Paul Sunday.
St. Paul Sunday is made possible by a major grant from the Minnesota-based General Mills Foundation, supporting excellence in education, human services, and the arts. Additional funding has been provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and by this Public Radio International station. St. Paul Sunday is produced by Minnesota Public Radio in the Maud Moon Weyerhaeuser Music Studio. Your host for the series is Bill McLaughlin. The senior producer is Mary Lee. The music producer is Steve Barnett. And the associate producer is Vaughn Armstead. The engineer is Alan Strickland. And the production engineer is Michael DeMarc. The St. Paul Sunday website is produced by Nancy Blakestead. This is Marianne Sullivan.
You've been listening to the music of Peter Maxwell Davies as performed by David Owen Norris, one of the selections on St. Paul Sunday's newest compact disc, Mixed Company. Visit our website at stpaulsunday.org to order your copy of Mixed Company, Music from St. Paul Sunday. This recording includes performances of Gil Shaham, the Juilliard String Quartet, and many more, all recorded for this program and many not available elsewhere. Order your copy of Mixed Company from the St. Paul Sunday website, stpaulsunday.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.